August 16th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 11, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 12, verse 26. And here is what's going on in this passage of Scripture. You know, it's one thing to attend a feast, sing praises to God, and hear the Bible read and explained, and quite something else to commit yourself to obey the will of God. The 84 men who put their seal to the covenant wanted God and the people to know that they were serious about obedience. These names represented whole families, so that more people were involved in this solemn commitment than are named here in the chapter. Their dedication was public, and it was also specific, and included obedience with regard to marriage, with regard to the Sabbath and the sabbatical year, their support of the temple and their gifts and sacrifices for the temple ministry. Their dedication was costly, but it was worthy of all that God had done for them. You see, when we're right with God, we will support His work and His house. We will not neglect the house of our God. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. August 16th, Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 1, through chapter 12, verse 26. Now the leaders of the people were living in Jerusalem, the holy city, at this time. A tenth of the people from the other towns of Judah and Benjamin were chosen by sacred lots to live there too, while the rest stayed where they were. And the people commended everyone who volunteered to resettle in Jerusalem. Here is a list of the names of the provincial officials who came to Jerusalem. Most of the people, priests, Levites, temple servants, and descendants of Solomon's servants, continued to live in their own homes in the various towns of Judah. But some of the people from Judah and Benjamin resettled in Jerusalem. From the tribe of Judah, Athaiah, son of Uzziah, son of Zechariah, son of Amariah, son of Shephatiah, son of Mahalalel, of the family of Perez, and Mahaziah, son of Baruch, son of Kol-Hoza, son of Haziah, son of Adiah, son of Joiarib, son of Zechariah, of the family of Shelah. There were also 468 descendants of Perez who lived in Jerusalem, all outstanding men. From the tribe of Benjamin, Salu, son of Meshulam, son of Joed, son of Pedaiah, son of Koliah, son of Mahaziah, son of Ithiel, son of Jeshiah, and after him there were Gabai and Salai, and a total of 928 relatives. Their chief officer was Joel, son of Zikri, who was assisted by Judah, son of Hasanua, second in command over the city. From the priests, Jediah, son of Joiarib, Jekin, and Seraiah, son of Hilkiah, son of Meshulam, son of Zadok, son of Merioth, son of Ahitub, the supervisor of the temple of God, together with 822 of their ancestors who worked at the temple. Also, there was Adiah, son of Jeroham, son of Pelaliah, son of Amzai, son of Zechariah, son of Pashur, son of Malchijah, and 242 of his associates, who were heads of their families. There were also Amashai, son of Azarel, son of Azai, son of Meshilamoth, son of Immer, and 128 of his outstanding associates. Their chief officer was Zabdiel, son of Hagadolim. From the Levites, Shemaiah, son of Hashub, son of Azrakam, son of Hashabiah, son of Bunai. Shabbathai and Jozabad, who were in charge of the work outside the temple of God. Mattaniah, son of Micah, son of Zabdi, a descendant of Asaph, who opened the Thanksgiving services with prayer. Bakbukiah, who was Mattaniah's assistant, and Abda, son of Shammua, son of Galal, son of Jeduthun. In all, there were 284 Levites in the holy city. From the gatekeepers, Akub, Talmon, and 172 of their associates, who guarded the gates. The other priests, Levites, and the rest of the Israelites lived wherever their family inheritance was located in any of the towns of Judah. However, the temple servants, whose leaders were Ziha and Gishpa, all lived on the hill of Ophel. The chief officer of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzai, son of Benai, son of Hashabiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micah, a descendant of Asaph, whose family served as singers at God's temple. They were under royal orders, which determined their daily activities. Pethahiah, son of Meshezabel, a descendant of Zerah, son of Judah, was the king's agent in all matters of public administration. Some of the people of Judah lived in Kiriath Arba with its villages, Dibon with its villages, and Jekabzeel with its villages. They also lived in Jeshua, Molada, Bethpelet, Hazer Shual, Beersheba with its villages, Ziklag, and Mekona with its villages. They were also in En-Rimmon, Zora, Jarmuth, Zanoah, and Adullam with their villages. They were also in Lachish and its nearby fields, and Azekah with its surrounding villages. So the people of Judah were living all the way from Beersheba to the Valley of Hinnom. Some of the people of Benjamin lived at Geba, Michmash, Aijah, and Bethel, with its surrounding villages. They were also in Anathoth, Nob, Ananiah, Hazor, Ramah, Gittaim, Hadid, Zeboim, Nebalet, Lod, Ono, and the Valley of Craftsmen. Some of the Levites who lived in Judah were sent to live with the tribe of Benjamin. Here is the list of the priests and Levites who had returned with Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the high priest: Zeriah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Maluk, Hattush, Shechaniah, Harim, Merimoth, Edo, Ginnathon, Abijah, Menahemin, Mohadiah, Bilgah, Shemaiah, Joyarib, Jediah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, and Jediah. These were the leaders of the priests and their associates in the days of Jeshua. The Levites who had returned with them were Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, who, with his associates, was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. Their associates, Bakbukiah and Unai, stood opposite them during the service. Jeshua, the high priest, was the father of Joiakim. Joiakim was the father of Eliashib. Eliashib was the father of Joiada. Joiada was the father of Johanan. Johanan was the father of Jaddua. Now when Joiakim was high priest, the family leaders of the priests were as follows. Meraiah was the leader of the family of Seraiah. Hananiah was leader of the family of Jeremiah. Meshulam was leader of the family of Ezra. Johanan was leader of the family of Amariah. Jonathan was leader of the family of Maluk. Joseph was leader of the family of Shechaniah. Adna was leader of the family of Harim. Helkai was leader of the family of Merimoth. Zechariah was leader of the family of Edo. Meshulam was leader of the family of Ginnathon. Zikri was leader of the family of Abijah. There was also a leader of the family of Menahemin. Piltai was leader of the family of Mohadiah. Shammua was leader of the family of Bilgah. Jehonathan was leader of the family of Shemaiah. Mattani was leader of the family of Joiarib. Uzai was leader of the family of Jediah. Kalai was leader of the family of Salu. Eber was leader of the family of Amok. Hashabiah was leader of the family of Hilkiah. Nathanael was leader of the family of Jediah. During the reign of Darius II of Persia, a list was compiled of the family leaders of the Levites and the priests in the days of the following high priests: Eliashib, Joiada, Johanan, and Jaddua. The heads of the Levite families were recorded in the book of history, down to the days of Johanan, the grandson of Eliashib. These were the family leaders of the Levites: Hashabiah, Sherebiah, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, and other associates who stood opposite them during the ceremonies of praise and thanksgiving, one section responding to the other, just as commanded by David, the man of God. This included Mattaniah, Bakbukiah, and Obadiah. Meshulam, Talmon, and Akub were the gatekeepers in charge of the storerooms at the gates. These all served in the days of Joiakim, son of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and in the days of Nehemiah, the governor, and of Ezra, the priest and scribe. August 16th. Today, as we look into the New Testament, we'll be reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 14 through 33. And if you insist on using your rights, you may cause a weaker believer to stumble, and you may also bring trouble on yourself. When you face difficult decisions, take some of these factors into consideration, some of the factors like God's blessing. The parallel to God's people today is obvious. We've been redeemed from the world, identified with Jesus Christ, and nourished by spiritual food and drink. But these blessings are no guarantee that we will be successful. Another factor is God's judgment. When Israel sinned, God disciplined them, and He will do the same to His people today. Do you practice and tolerate in your life any of the sins that are named here? You know, God gives His children freedom, but the freedom to sin is definitely not included. Another factor is God's promise. God knows how much we can take and always provides the way of escape. Sometimes the smartest thing we can do is just to flee. Always look for the open door and the blessing on the other side. And the final factor, as we read here in 1 Corinthians 10, is God's glory. Two extremes must be avoided: practicing license in the name of Christian freedom, and being so fussy that we cannot live in a real world and make rational decisions. When you seek to edify others and glorify the Lord, you will know what to do. Hey, when you flee from temptation, be sure you do not leave a forwarding address behind. And with that, we begin today's reading from the New Testament. August 16th, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 33. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I'm about to say is true. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing the benefits of the blood of Christ? And when we break the loaf of bread, aren't we sharing in the benefits of the body of Christ? And we all eat from one loaf, showing that we are one body. And think about the nation of Israel. All who eat the sacrifices are united by that act. What am I trying to say? Am I saying that the idols to whom the pagans bring sacrifices are real gods, and that these sacrifices are of some value? No, not at all. What I am saying is that these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want any of you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What? Do you dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy as Israel did? Do you think we are stronger than He is? You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't think only of your own good. Think of other Christians and what is best for them. Here's what you should do. You may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace. Don't ask whether or not it was offered to idols, and then your conscience won't be bothered. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a Christian asks you home for dinner, go ahead. Accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you, and don't ask any questions about it. Your conscience should not be bothered by this. But suppose someone warns you that this meat has been offered to an idol. Don't eat it, out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. Now, why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, you must do all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the Church of God. That is the plan I follow too. I try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what I like or what is best for me, but what is best for them so they may be saved. Today we're in Psalm 34, verses 11 through 22. Fearful that Saul would kill him, David fled to Gath and sought the protection of the enemy. But you're never safe out of the will of God. And David had to lie in order to escape. Now this psalm is David's personal testimony of what God did for him. I will bless. You know, David had every reason to praise the Lord, for the Lord had rescued him from certain death. When you call on the Lord in faith, He saves, He keeps, and He satisfies. Why run to the enemy when you can run to the Lord and be safe? I will teach, the scripture will tell us. David wanted the next generation to know the Lord and trust Him. He gave some wise counsel about how to have good days, and he urged them to call on the Lord in the time of trouble. God's eyes see your needs. God's ears hear your prayers, and God is near you when your heart is broken. When God does something special for you, hey, tell somebody else and remember it yourself. The next generation needs to know that God is faithful and God is alive. Psalm 34, verses 11 through 22. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Do any of you want to live a life that's long and good? Then watch your tongue. Keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous may face many troubles, but the Lord rescues them from each and every one. For the Lord protects them from harm. Not one of their bones will be broken. Calamity will surely overtake the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve Him. Everyone who trusts in Him will be freely pardoned. Proverbs 21, verses 14 through 16. A secret gift calms anger. A secret bribe pacifies fury. Justice is a joy to the godly, but it causes dismay among evildoers. The person who strays from common sense will end up in the company of the dead.